Excuse number 9. It has never happened before. Be not the slave of your own past. This is what my literary soulmate Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote in his journal. Just because you've always been a certain way, this isn't a rational explanation for your present state of affairs. In fact, it's an excuse attempting to explain away what you feel are shortcomings. The past is a trail you leave behind, much like the wake of a speedboat. That is, it's a vanishing trail temporarily showing you where you were. The wake of a boat doesn't affect its course. Obviously it can't, since it's only a trail behind the boat. So consider this image when you exclaim that your past is the reason you aren't moving forward. The logic of it's never happened before, or its equally debilitating corollary, it's always been that way for me, stems from these beliefs. My past is over, and what's over can't be changed. What happened before will happen again, so I'm being guided today by what can't be changed. Therefore, it's impossible for me to change. It's over for me. What I want has never happened before, and that means it will never happen again. Crazy logic. This is what happens when you live in the wake or the trail you've left behind, convinced that your past is the reason why you can't change. You hang on to it to excuse yourself from thinking differently. Consciously choose a new set of affirmations that encourage you to believe in your ability to elevate your life above past levels. Try this. I can accomplish anything I put my mind to here in the present moment. My past has no bearing on what I can and will create. If it has never happened before, that is all the more reason for me to make it happen now. I will cease being a slave to my past. Inventory the mental excuses you have for avoiding risk, failure, criticism, ridicule, or the negative opinions of others. See how you're creating them as the formation of your current excuse memes. Yes, I said memes. Those ideas placed in your head from mimicking the ideas of others until they became a set of mind viruses. When they're put to the 7-part excuses be gone paradigm in part 3 of this program, they'll simply crumble right before your eyes because they have no substance. I doubt this point could be better summarized than in the last lines of Carl Sandburg's poem, Prairie. Quote, I tell you, the past is a bucket of ashes. I tell you, yesterday is a wind gone down, a sun dropped in the west. I tell you, there is nothing in the world, only an ocean of tomorrows, a sky of tomorrows. End quote. Give up hanging on to that bucket of ashes. Recently, I spent an afternoon swimming with the dolphins in the Mexican Riviera. I'd never done such a thing in all of my 68 years, but rather than telling myself that I couldn't undertake such an outing because it's never happened before, I reversed the logic and instead thought, since I've never done this before, I want to add this to my repertoire and have this unique experience right now. And it was sensational. Adopt this kind of thinking regarding everything you've never done before. Open up to vistas that bring you to a new way of being, where you create wealth, health, and happiness in the present moment. Excuse number 10. I'm not strong enough. The I'm not strong enough excuse unquestionably keeps you locked into a habituated way of thinking. Years spent believing in your weaknesses actually strengthens the belief that you aren't an emotionally, spiritually, or physically capable individual. It only takes a little bit of criticism to discourage you and activate this belief, I'm not a strong person, so I'll resort to my true self, who is weak. The idea that you aren't tough enough to hold a certain job, or stand up to a bully or victimizer, or take care of yourself, or face life alone, or travel by yourself, are all mind viruses that are ready excuses when life gets tough. This is true on a collective level as well. I spent a couple of years teaching American history with a special interest in colonial America. I was always intrigued by how the United States broke free from the small island on the other side of the ocean that had ruled it with an iron fist for so many years. The message that the British had always sent was, "We are strong, and you, fledging wannabes, are weak." The result was a kind of servitude that had kept the colonists in excuse mode but was ultimately brought to a halt once and for all. The transformation required a paradigm shift, which ultimately resulted in new thinking habits. It began with that great assortment of founding fathers from north to south who challenged the mind virus that they were weak and the British were strong. When enough of these courageous leaders shared their beliefs about American might, the new meme began to replicate, infiltrate, and spread throughout the 13 colonies. In that vein, here's a portion of a speech delivered by Patrick Henry before the Second Revolutionary Convention of Virginia in 1775. Quote, "We are not weak. If we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our power, the battle, sir, is not to the strong alone, it is to the vigilant, the active, the brave." Unquote. Shift out of the mental belief that you're too weak. Become vigilant and active and demonstrate a new kind of bravery. Affirm that you're breaking free of thinking habits that have convinced you you're not a strong person. Here are some affirmation suggestions for you. I shall never see myself as lacking in strength again. What you think of me is none of my business. My strength is my connection to Source. It does not know weakness. Become conscious of the fact that seeing this belief as an excuse illuminates its weakness, but it also strengthens your ability to encourage yourself. You possess all the fortitude of character, mind, and body to live at the highest levels of happiness, health, and prosperity. Let these words of Mohandas Gandhi inspire you. Quote, strength does not come from physical capacity. It comes from an indomitable will. Unquote. Excuse number 11. I'm not smart enough. Your vast intelligence isn't measurable by an IQ test, nor is it susceptible to the analysis of school transcripts. Your ideas or beliefs about what you'd like to be, accomplish, or attract are evidence of your genius. If you're capable of conceiving it, then the act of visual conception combined with your passion for manifesting your idea into reality is all you need to activate your genius. If you think that it's impossible to categorize yourself as a genius, I emphatically ask, why not? You originated in the same infinite field of intention as everyone else who's ever lived. Your mind is a component of the mind of God or the universal Tao, so how could it be other than the brilliance of the Creator? Were you not created out of this vast sea of invisible intelligence? Are your ideas somehow inferior or incapable of being transformed into this material world? Even as a part of you hangs on to the I'm not smart enough excuse, there's a part of you that recognizes this truth. When you state, quote, I've never been smart enough, unquote, you're really saying, I've bought into a definition of intelligence that's measured by what family members or educators provided me with earlier in my life. You can provide yourself with encouraging input instead of the discouraging messages from your past by knowing that intelligence can never be measured, nor can it in any way be limited. So if you're willing to put your passion and perseverance into your ideas, you'll meet the genius part of you. Even if you subscribe to the idea that this excuse is warranted because your brain is somehow not up to par, consider the conclusion that Sharon Begley offers in her book, Train Your Mind, Change Your Brain. Here's what she says about the power of the brain, your brain, to change, not through prescription drugs, but through the will. Quote, the conscious act of thinking about one's thoughts in a different way changes the very brain circuits that do the thinking. Unquote. And, quote, the ability of thought and attention to physically alter the brain echoes one of Buddhism's more remarkable hypotheses, that will is a real physical force that can change the brain, unquote. So even if you want to hang on to the excuse that your brain is chemically deficient, you have within you the power to change its material makeup. You can rearrange your old thinking system so that it conforms with the genius model. Why not think that the ideas in your head are byproducts of your genius instead of a limited intelligence? Let what Oscar Wilde is said to have remarked to a New York City customs official encourage you. When asked if he had anything to declare, he responded, quote, I have nothing to declare but my genius, unquote. And in many ways, he was absolutely correct. When you trust in yourself, you trust in the very wisdom that created you. Make a conscious effort not to second-guess that originating wisdom. Like Oscar Wilde, have only your genius to declare. Trust your elevated thoughts, especially those that stir up passion, and then act on them as if they were unquestionable. Excuse number 12, I'm too old, or I'm not old enough. The age of your body can seem to be quite an obstacle on the road to changing long-held thinking habits, particularly since you received an extensive list of memes concerning age very early on. Depending on where you grew up, you heard statements such as, you can't ride your bicycle until you're 7. You can't sleep over until you're 10. You can't drive a car until you're 16. And you can't have sex until you're married. Then at some point, you discovered that you went from being not old enough to being too old. Then you started to hear, you can't get a new job after age 35. You can't change occupations because you're past your prime. Or you can't fall in love again at your age. Or it's too late to write the book or compose the symphony you've always dreamed about. And of course, the old saw, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And all of these memes became your reality. The age excuse comes from an inclination to identify yourself with the number of trips you've made around the sun rather than from the unlimited side of you that lives independent of the age of your body. Part of you has an ageless mind and is quite oblivious to the physical aging process, and it's available to you if you'll just encourage it with conscious invitations to participate in your life. As a young child, you had daydreams about what you might invent or draw or write or design. Mind viruses came your way routinely, which made age your reality. Wait until you're bigger to do those kinds of things, seemed to be a never-ending pronouncement, all too quickly turning into, you're too old, act your age, it's too late. Somewhere between the two, your private destiny wasn't elevated to a primary position in your life. You are the age you are, period. Yet those thoughts swirling around inside and outside of your head are ageless. They have no form, no boundaries, no beginnings, no endings. When you speak of age, you speak of your body, this finite thing that houses your invisible essence. This excuse is all about your physical self, and it is unquestionably influenced by your mind. You're the perfect age right here in this moment, and your body can be no other age than what it is. Identify yourself in what Lao Tzu calls the subtle realm, or the invisible domain of spirit, with thoughts like these. I am ageless, and I can train my body to work with me in achieving anything I can conceive of in my mind. There's nothing about my age today that prohibits me from fulfilling my dreams. My mind is free, and I can train it to do my bidding rather than acquiescing to an excuse pattern. I've had two very persuasive callings in my life. One occurred when I knew I'd be pursuing a college education regardless of being the oldest freshman on campus. Age was of no consequence to me. In fact, the 8 years I spent as a student on several college campuses to earn my 3 academic degrees were accomplished in part because I was so unconcerned about my age. I was living my passion, and everything else took a back seat to that vision. My second huge calling came at the age of 65 years and one day. Compelled to detach myself from worldly possessions accumulated over many decades, I disposed of clothes, furniture, books, records, awards, photographs, and memorabilia of all descriptions. Studying and living the Tao Te Ching, I wrote an essay on each of the 81 verses in a book titled Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. That I might be too old simply never occurred to me. As I look back on my life, I realize that I have made many smaller decisions where I refuse to consider age as a factor. At the age of 42, I decided to become a long-distance runner and ran the original Greek marathon. At the age of 17, I decided to write my first novel, and at the age of 9, I faked my age to get a paper route. 10 was the required age. At the age of 68, I can't conceive of thinking that I'm too old to do what I love. Without that excuse, I continue to live by activating my particular dharma or destiny. In fact, I just completed a brand new career undertaking as an actor and filmmaker at the tender age of 68. I encourage you to view the movie called The Shift, and tell me. Write to me and tell me if you think I'm too old for such a project. Excuse number 13. The rules won't let me. Perhaps the most famous of Henry David Thoreau's observation is this one from the conclusion of Walden. Quote, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer, unquote. Thoreau was referring to the unlikelihood of being able to always march to the same beat as everyone else. There are times in your life when you have to listen to the rhythm of rules that are beating within you, and only you, instead. But perhaps you've latched onto a belief that the rules of society are so sacrosanct that bending them would be crossing a line that you or anyone should never cross. The words that follow the above sentence in Walden are even more compelling for living an excuses-begone life. Quote, let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. Unquote. I'm not making a case for being a lawbreaker just for the sake of nonconformity. I am encouraging you to give up habituated behavior that demands following the rules and obeying laws when this keeps you from fulfilling your destiny. Bertrand Russell observed that, quote, from childhood upward, everything is done to make the minds of men and women conventional and sterile, unquote. This includes many of the edicts, both written and spoken, that you've been taught to observe as you move through life. Many of these rules are simply the shoulds. You should do things the way we've always done things in this family. You should keep quiet and do as you're told. You should fit in and take the courses that the school offers. You should take the advice of authorities rather than have a different opinion. You should want to continue living near family instead of moving across or out of the country, and so on. All of these shoulds are designed to keep you from hearing a certain drumbeat, which, if further ignored, may lead to disastrous results. Thoughtless obedience to rules and laws is both dangerous to society as a whole and an impenetrable obstacle in the way of your health and happiness. You see, your subconscious mind may be so programmed that you allow all of these memes or mind viruses to dictate your opinions in life. If you recognize that you're a spokesperson for always obeying rules and laws and doing as you're told, you also need to recognize that you pass on mind viruses to others similar to the ones that are curtailing your own life. Some of the most heinous acts in human history have been performed under the umbrella of the law and the rules, and many beliefs and opinions are merely excuses defended as rules or laws. Listen to your own heart and obey whatever is consistent with what you know to be the highest law of all. Subscribe to edicts that encourage you and others to be all that you're capable of becoming without interfering in any way with anyone else's God-given rights. In this excuses-begone attitude, you'll never be limited by laws, rules, or shoulds. As the 18th verse of the Tao Te Ching states, quote, "When the greatness of the Tao, or God, is present, action arises from one's own heart. When the greatness of the Tao, or God, is absent, action comes from the rules of kindness and justice." Let the greatness of the Tao live in your heart and encourage you to act from that elevated place.